Transgender Idahoans have come under fire at the state capitol this year, and in particular, transgender athletes. The House has approved a bill banning transgender girls and women from competing on teams with which they identify. It's currently awaiting action in the Senate. But as James Dawson reports, the move comes after years of sporting organizations growing more accepting of trans athletes.
This is a debate that's been going on for a long time.
Is she male or is she female?
She is a transsexual. 2 years ago, she was Dr. Richard Raskin and was ranked nationally among the top 20 male tennis players over age 35.
That's a clip from an ESPN documentary following the life of Renee Richards, a tennis player who successfully sued for the right to compete in the U.S. Open as a transgender woman in 1977. She didn't get past the first round. Over the next 40-some years, the overseers of elite sports, like the International Olympic Committee, have drafted and revised their policies on transgender athletes, eventually making them more inclusive. A bill that would ban trans girls and women from competing on sports teams that align with their gender identity has sparked multiple protests in Idaho. It also brought Chris Mosier, the first transgender athlete to qualify for an Olympic trial, to Boise.
This is not just about transgender athletes. This is the gateway to creating more discrimination, more discriminative policies against trans people.
At the heart of the issue is a divide between the values of inclusion and fairness. When Idaho State Representative Barbara Ehart was growing up, she was told girls don't play sports. The former collegiate basketball coach turned lawmaker says she wants to keep the spirit of Title IX, the federal law that requires equal educational opportunities, intact. That's why she introduced a bill to keep those who she calls, quote, biological males out of female sports.
Forcing girls and women to compete against biological boys and men has often made us spectators in our own sport.
Ehart initially agreed to an interview with Boise State Public Radio, but didn't respond to further attempts to speak with her. On the House floor, she says this is no different than basing eligibility on a student's GPA or where they live.
You see, in sports, we have requirements, we have standards, and it is not based on feelings. And we have these in order to participate, to ensure fairness for all.
But there are standards. Most state regulators have a policy allowing trans athletes to compete in high school, but several require students to change their birth certificates or even get surgery to be eligible. For collegiate sports, the NCAA requires trans women to be on testosterone suppressors for at least a year, the same requirement Idaho high schoolers have to meet. And transgender Olympic hopefuls have to keep their testosterone under a certain level to compete. But scientists are still studying this with mixed conclusions. A study published in the Journal of Medical Ethics last year suggested testosterone gives athletes an edge when it comes to elite-level competition.
There's a whole range of changes that occur primarily at puberty, but at different points, that give them a performance advantage in sport.
That's Lindley Anderson, one of the co-authors of the study and head of bioethics at University of Otago in New Zealand. She says the male sex hormone testosterone doesn't just promote bigger muscles. It also makes the male cardiovascular system more efficient, which helps with recovery. But Taryn Knox, another co-author of the study, says that doesn't mean trans women are cheating.
Well, they meet the guidelines as they are now. The problem is with the guidelines.
Instead, they say elite sports groups should blow up male and female divisions altogether. Knox says several new categories would be created, with athletes matched together based on things like height, weight, and testosterone levels.
Queer people have had a real history of being excluded, not just in sport, but in all parts of life. We don't want to be repeating that.
But what does an Olympic hopeful like Mosier think of that?
There's no way that every national governing body would get on board with that. And it's also not necessary.
He says transgender athletes should just be allowed to play on teams that align with their gender identity. That's being debated in real time. Three families of high school students in Connecticut are suing to block two trans girls from competing at track meets. One of the students who's suing won a state championship there last month. Meanwhile, one of the trans runners won third. At least 19 states are considering bills like Ehart's to block participation, but Mosher points out there's not widespread domination by transgender girls and women in sports.
We have had how many? Zero zero trans athletes have competed in the Olympics.
An opinion from the state attorney general's office called Ehart's bill constitutionally problematic for several reasons, including that it would treat transgender girls and women differently. Aside from whether it's legal or not, researchers say there needs to be more data on just how much of an advantage trans women have in sports, if any, over cisgendered women or those who were assigned female at birth. James Dawson, Boise State Public Radio News.